You're listening to the Christchurch Mequon podcast, where every day we're lifting lives and elevating Christ, a church for those not here yet. For more information and resources, visit our website, christchurchmequon.org. Now, we hope you enjoy this relevant message from Pastor Bobster.
All right. Good morning, Christchurch. Good morning. You're out there, right? Okay. Hey, glad that you're here at Christ Church this morning, joining us here in West. Maybe you're joining us online or you're over in East, however it is. We're just glad you're hanging out with us this morning. I'm Pastor Bob, Pastor Emeritus here at Christ Church, which is a fancy way of saying the guy that's going to be retired in 2 months. That's what that means. Yeah, right. Woohoo! Yeah, thank you. Well, what we're going to do this morning is keep going in our series, No Offense. And in particular this morning, we're going to deal with those people, right? Those people. You know who those are, right? You're probably sitting there going, oh yeah, we're going to talk about so-and-so, right? The reality is we all have those people in our lives. I mean, we all encounter people that just somehow we have difficulty with, right? They just rub us the wrong way or say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, and they just somehow create offense in our lives, right? I know in my case, you know, there's just certain personalities that I just struggle with, right? Just the personality style is difficult for me. And that's just true for all of us. Do you all have those people in your life? Shake a head if you do. Great. If you are shaking your head right now, then you understand a basic biblical principle that can make an extraordinary difference in your life, in the way you engage with those people. If you take serious and take in what we're going to share this morning, I am convinced it will change how you go through the day. And I know it will change how you experience those people. First, let me start with this big eye-opener. This is, you know, 42 years of ministry learning poured out for you right here. We live in a broken world that has broken people. So plan on being offended. Right? Duh. That's right. 40 years experience just given to you. There we go. But it's true, right? The reality is we know biblically, we know according to our theology, that we live in a broken, sinful world. And that broken, sinful world is full of broken, sinful people. And broken, sinful people, guess what? They do broken, sinful things. And they do it to other people. And so it shouldn't surprise us as Christ followers that other people offend us. By the way, it shouldn't surprise us that there are times when we fall into our old nature and equally offend other people. Darn it. But this truth is freeing for us. It shouldn't surprise us. In fact, not only should it not surprise us, but we can be prepared for it. Now, let me prove to you from Scripture what I'm talking about this morning. This is the Apostle Paul. We sometimes around here call him Pastor Paul. He was a great, great missionary, right, who came to know Jesus in a miraculous way. And he writes to Christ followers and he says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So notice, what are you following? Your sinful nature. Not following Christ, not living Christ-like, but instead following your own desires, your own will, your own wants, your own way, right? When you do that, and when other people do that, he says there's clear outcomes. Now he's going to give you a list. We'll go through the list. As you listen to the list, if there's anything that offends you on the list, feel free to go ahead and shake your heads for me, okay? You ready? The clear outcome is sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and if we didn't hit anything, all other sins like these. Bobblehead. Is there anything on the list that offends you? Is there anything on the list when somebody else does that in your presence offends you? Of course. Absolutely. Because that is the nature of broken people. He's saying that's what happens. And so for we who are Christ followers, if you're already a Christ follower, it's just a freeing understanding of knowing, listen, we live in a broken world, and broken people do broken things, and guess what? That is going to offend us. So we should not be surprised. In fact, we should expect that to happen. We should be prepared for that to happen. Now, if that's not enough of a light bulb experience for you, I got one more, okay? It comes in a set. Here's the next big surprise for you. You ready? Take this seriously. It's going to impact your days. You ready? Don't expect Christ-like behavior from non-Christ followers. Right? He just told us the way the world is. He just gave us a list of offensive things, the nature of a broken world. Not everybody is a Christ follower. Therefore, we can't expect people who don't follow Christ to act as if they do. We should expect that they will act in the way that Paul described on the list. We should expect that they will offend us because they aren't living a Christ-like life. Paul, the same guy that came up with the list, talks about this experience and describes it in a kind of an imagery of darkness versus light. And you'll see in this verse, he describes how a transition takes place when Jesus Christ moves in, takes up a place in your life, and takes over control of your life. Here's what Paul says. But once you were full of darkness. Notice the word full there. Not just a little bit of darkness, not just an occasional darkness. What is he saying? Once you were full of darkness. But now, okay, so something happened. A transition is taking place, right? But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. He's giving us this awareness that not everybody lives as people of the light. Some people live as people of the darkness in a broken world. But as a Christ follower, we get the opportunity to live opposite. We get the opportunity to live as people of the light. That means we respond differently than the rest of the world. He says, for this light within you produces, this is how you respond, produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Notice he says, carefully determine. If you're a Christ follower already, here's what you get to do when it comes to somebody who offends you. You get to predetermine before the offense even happens how you're going to respond. Because you already know you're going to eventually be offended by someone, somehow, somewhere. You know that not everybody lives a Christ-like life. And so you know that eventually, somehow, somewhere, you are going to be offended. But because you know that, and because you know Christ, you can carefully determine what is good and right and true in how you respond to that person who offends you. See, here's the reality. Being offended is going to happen. That's going to happen. The question is, are you going to live offended? You see, living offended is up to you. You can live in darkness, or you can live in light. The same Paul, he says to us a verse, you probably are familiar with this verse, gets quoted a lot, great verse from Ephesians. Paul says, and don't sin by letting anger do what? Anger control you. Now that's a powerful statement, isn't it? It's saying, what's in charge? Who's in charge? Anger. So when you get offended, how are you responding? Well, if you respond in your old sinful nature, if you respond in the way of darkness, you're going to respond in a way that lets the offense control you. It's going to consume you. It's going to take over your emotions. It's going to take over your thought process. It's going to take over how you respond. And you're going to be all about, how do I get even? That's darkness. That's not light. Paul is saying, listen, don't do that. That's sin. Don't let that control you. Instead, predetermined, understand as a Christ follower beforehand that you're going to be offended. And because you know you're going to be offended, predetermine and understand you can respond differently when it happens. You already know how you can respond in a way that is good and right and Christ-like. Now, why is Paul so concerned about this for us? Notice at the end of the verse, he says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. See, somehow we think when the offense happens, we got to get even because somehow it's all about getting even with that person. Paul is saying, no, you don't understand what's at stake here. You are at stake here. You're living in the light is at stake here. He's saying every time you get offended and you allow that to start to control you, all you're doing is giving a foothold to the devil. The word foothold, Greek word is topos, it means place or room. He's saying when you let the anger control you, when you let the offense take residence and begin to dictate how you think and how you respond, you are letting the evil one move in and take residence in your life. That now the evil one is that which influences you as opposed to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. You see why this is important? And this, by the way, is exactly what evil wants. This is part of the strategy of evil in a broken world. You see, evil would like nothing more than to move into your relationships, your marriages and your family relationships and your relationships with other Christ followers, and even as a congregation, to move in and create a wedge of division in our relationships. Evil understands if it can move in and build that wedge of division, it will begin to take control. There's a great book in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Job. Anybody heard of it? Few of you. Great book. If you haven't read it, go read it. It starts kind of peculiar, actually, because it starts with God and Satan having a conversation together, which is kind of an odd thing to think of, but nonetheless, that's how it starts. And God says, hey, by the way, there is this guy, Job. He is an amazing guy. He is blameless. He's a man of complete integrity, and he fears God and stays away from evil. And Satan, of course, takes up the challenge and says, well, there's a reason for that. It's because you give him everything. And you know what? If you take away everything he has, he will surely curse you to your face. What is evil doing? What is he saying? Well, this isn't just about taking away possessions. This is about taking away his relationships. That's what's at stake. Evil wants to drive a wedge in his relationships with his kids, with his wife, with his friends. If you read the book of Job, that's how that book unfolds. It's all about what is going to happen to Job's relationships and then ultimately his relationship with God. Why? Because the evil one wants to take up residence. And if the evil one can take up residence, he will divide your relationships. Why is this important to him? Once he begins to divide your relationships, you no longer stay on mission to share Christ with those other people. Now you're consumed with getting even. Now you're consumed by the offense. And now, instead of talking to somebody about the power of Christ in your life, you're conniving on how you can participate in the darkness. The evil one's strategy is to divide your relationships and shut down your ability to share the power of Christ. This happened in the very beginning after Jesus was crucified and rose again and he ascended into heaven, right? And now the disciples are out there and they're preaching the word. People are coming to faith. They start getting arrested for talking about Jesus. So a couple of them get arrested. They get called in front of the Jewish leaders. And what's the instruction? We got to stop these people. We got to make sure they don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. In fact, we're going to command them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. That is music to evil's ears. To shut you down if you're a Christ follower and let you be consumed by the offense, because then you'll stop talking to people about Jesus. And not only will you stop talking about it, but he can actually invalidate your own God story. He can put darkness and slander your own God story. So now, even if you share your God story of how Jesus worked in your life, people will not listen to you because you participated in the offense. You with me? There's a great verse Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Isn't that a great verse? Here's the problem with the verse. What about the word falsely? What if it's what they're saying is true? You see, you just invalidate your ability to tell about the power of Christ in your life. This is why it's so important for us, if you're already a Christ follower, for you to listen today with what I'm sharing with you, to understand you're going to be offended. Get with the program. Understand you're going to be offended. You're in a broken world. You're absolutely going to be offended. Don't expect non-Christ followers to act like you do. But predetermine, pre-understand how you're going to respond when you're offended. So when it happens, you respond in a way that is being a person of the light. What does this mean? What it ultimately means for us is that we begin to see the offense and the person behind the offense differently. You see, we get to change. We get to create how we're going to respond to the offense. And it starts by just seeing this person differently. It starts by understanding that that difficult person in our life can be an opportunity for God and for me. That difficult person that would rub us the wrong way or say the wrong thing can actually be an opportunity for God to work in an incredible way and for God to use that person to grow me in my relationship with Christ. There's a great proverb. Maybe some of you know it. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. What's interesting about the verse, it doesn't describe the person. It doesn't say only good people sharpen you. No, offensive people can sharpen you. It's a great, great story in the book of Acts. A guy named Paul, we've been hearing his words. He and Silas, a partner of his, are out doing ministry. And as they're doing this ministry, it says, one day a young woman started following them, and this young woman is possessed by an evil spirit. And she starts following them, and as she's following, she's shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." And she kept this up for many days. Now, on the surface, that sounds pretty good for Paul and Silas, right? They got like this billboard going on, right? This young girl saying, hey, and amazingly, an evil spirit is saying, hey, these guys know what they're talking about. You should listen to them. This goes on for many days. Then it says, finally, Paul became so annoyed. Could we put the word offended in there? He became so annoyed, offended by the whole thing, that he turned around and said to the spirit, not the girl, said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. Now, this is really unusual, isn't it? I mean, this is like, what is going on here? on the surface, you might look at the story and say, well, why would Paul do that? This person is kind of being a poster board, right? A billboard for telling people that they should listen to them. Why would Paul silence her and cast out that spirit? Because it's a girl. And the girl is captured by evil. And Paul finally gets so annoyed, not by what she says, but that a girl is captured by evil. And so he casts out the spirit. Now, what's equally interesting is Paul pays a price for doing this. Paul is arrested. He is ultimately beaten. He and Silas are thrown in jail. And here they are in jail, in the middle of the jail, in the middle of the darkness, and they're singing hymns and praising God, and all the people, prisoners in jail, come to believe in Jesus. Paul didn't know that when he cast out the evil spirit. He didn't know what God was going to do when he cast out the evil spirit. You see what I'm saying? That when you're ready for the response, when you're prepared, knowing you're going to be offended, you predetermine, you're ready for the response, that you can respond in a way that is in the light, that is Christ-like, then you can look at this person differently and understand they are an opportunity for God, and they're an opportunity for God to work on you. So rather than avoiding the offense, as a Christ follower, if you're already a Christ follower, rather than avoiding the offense, you get to go ahead and face the offense. You get to go ahead and face the offense. It's an opportunity. It's a way that God can use you, and it's a way that God's going to use the experience to work on you. That's why Paul, in the middle of that verse, said, "Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry." No, it's an opportunity. Be ready for it. Be prepared for it. Be a person of the light that's ready to speak into that moment and do it in a Christ-like way. All right, now if you followed me so far and you're like, okay, I'm kind of buying in on this, you're going to ultimately get to a place where you say, well, okay, Pastor, that's really great. What am I supposed to say? Well, I can't give you the exact words right now. I only got 2 minutes and 35 seconds left. So I don't have enough time to do all that, right? But I can tell you a few things, and I can give you an invitation. You ready? What I can tell you is this. When you respond in grace and truth. And notice the order. It's really important. Notice the order. What do you start with? Grace. Start in grace, and you speak in truth. You start in grace, and you speak in truth. That's why Paul says, don't use foul or abusive language. See, that would be so easy when you're offended, right? That would be so easy. And too many times that's come out of my mouth, right? He's saying, no, don't do that. Be prepared. Be predetermined. That's not the way you're going to respond. Instead, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. See, you get to understand before the offense even happens. You get to practice. You get to predetermine. You get to understand, how would God want me to respond when I'm offended? And to come up with words. And we'll help you do that. If you come back on Friday, October 27th, we're going to have folks there. We're going to have talented people, smart people, therapist people, and they're going to help you understand, how do you respond in a way of light to these offensive experiences? And then you're going to be ready for it. Not surprised, you'll be ready for it. Here's what I can tell you. What I've learned in my own experience of 42 years in ministry is that when you're in those moments and you're going to respond, you respond in grace and truth, because you speak from your own brokenness and you speak out of your own forgiveness. You speak out of your own brokenness and you speak from your own forgiveness. How do I know that's true? Paul again. Paul says, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. What's he telling you? What's he telling us? When we're offended, and we're going to be offended, as Christ followers, we get to respond differently. We get to think about it beforehand, be ready for it when it happens, and instead speak grace and truth, because that's what's been spoken into our lives. You see, God knew you would offend him. He's not surprised at the number of times in my life that I have offended him. And he predetermined in grace and in truth that he was going to speak forgiveness into my life. He predetermined that he would send his own son into this broken world full of offense to give up his life and to rise again 3 days later so that I could understand forgiveness. He's already decided this morning that you can come to this table and you can take bread and you can take wine and you can hear him say, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how offensive you've been, all that matters is I love you and I forgive you. Now let's live together in light. You see, he's already predetermined that no matter your offense or mine, he still loves us, he forgives us, and he's ready to bring us into eternity. You see, all he asks us to do is the same thing with others. To just share from our hearts, out of our own brokenness, our own forgiveness, that they too will be transferred from darkness to light. Let's pray. Father, thanks for the opportunity you give us to walk in light, to know beforehand how the world works, to understand how broken it is, and that it's going to be hard and it's going to be offensive to us. But Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he, in spite of our offense, went to the cross so we could be forgiven, that he rose again to new life. And so, Lord, convince us today to be ready for the offense, to be ready to speak grace and truth, to be ready to speak out of our own brokenness and to once again share forgiveness. Lord, keep us in the light. And Lord, if there's somebody today that just doesn't know Jesus yet, that hasn't yielded yet to your power and strength and hope and grace and forgiveness and truth, we pray today be the day to let go of all the offense and the burden and to be transferred from darkness into light. We rejoice that we get to watch that today in the waters of baptism. So make it true for all of us, even in spite of this offensive world. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christ Church Mequon podcast. Find your next step and let us know how we can be praying for you at christchurchmequon.life/podcast. Hit that subscribe button, and until next week, God bless.